Christ on the cross. Let us sing stanzas 1 through 3 and 6 and 7. 1 through 3, 6 and 7 of Psalter 184. Our scripture reading this morning is John chapter 19, the gospel according to John, the 19th chapter. The text of this morning's sermon is verses 19 through 22. John 19. Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him. The soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they put on him a purple robe and said, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they smote him with their hands. Pilate therefore went forth again and saith unto them, "Behold, I bring him forth to you, that ye may know that I find no fault in him." Then came Jesus forth, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate saith unto them, "Behold the man." When the chief priests, therefore, and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, "Crucify him, crucify him." Pilate saith unto them, "Take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him." The Jews answered him, "We have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God." When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was the more afraid. and went again into the judgment hall and saith unto Jesus, Whence art thou? But Jesus gave him no answer. Then saith Pilate unto him, Speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee, and have power to release thee? Jesus answered, Thou couldest have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin. And from thenceforth Pilate sought to release him. But the Jews cried out, saying, If thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. Whosoever maketh himself a king speaketh against Caesar. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus forth and sat down in the judgment seat, in a place that is called the pavement, but in the Hebrew Gabbatha. And it was the preparation of the Passover, and about the sixth hour. And he saith unto the Jews, Behold your king. But they cried out, Away with him, away with him, crucify him. Pilate saith unto them, Shall I crucify your king? The chief priests answered, We have no king but Caesar. Then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified. And they took Jesus and led him away. And he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him, and two other with him, on either side one, and Jesus in the midst. And Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross, and the writing was, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. This title then read many of the Jews, for the place where Jesus was crucified was nigh to the city, and it was written in Hebrew and Greek and Latin. Then said the chief priests of the Jews to Pilate, Write not the King of the Jews, but that he said, I am King of the Jews. Pilate answered, What I have written, I have written. Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts, to every soldier a part, and also his coat. Now the coat was without seam, woven from the top throughout. They said therefore among themselves, Let us not rend it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be. That the scripture might be fulfilled, which saith, They parted my raiment among them, and for my vesture they did cast lots. These things therefore the soldiers did. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother, and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciples standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. And saith he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour that disciple took her unto his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar, and put it upon hyssop, and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, It is finished. And he bowed his head, and gave up the ghost. The Jews therefore, because it was the preparation that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, the cross on for that Sabbath was an high day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken, that they might be taken away. And came the soldiers and brake the legs of the first and of the other which was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they brake not his legs. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. And he that saw it bare record, and his record is true, and he knoweth that he saith true, that ye might believe. For these things were done, that the scripture should be fulfilled, A bone of him shall not be broken. And again another scripture saith, They shall look on him whom they pierced. And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly, for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus, and Pilate gave him leave. He came therefore and took the body of Jesus. There came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night, and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pound weight. Then took they the body of Jesus, and wound it in linen clothes with the spices, as the manner of the Jews is to bury. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new sepulchre, wherein was never man yet laid. There laid they Jesus, therefore, because of the Jews' preparation day, for the sepulchre was nigh at hand. So far we read God's holy word. The text of this morning's sermon is verses 19 through 22, these words. And Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross. And the writing was, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. This title then read many of the Jews, for the place where Jesus was crucified was nigh to the city, and it was written in Hebrew and Greek and Latin. Then said the chief priests of the Jews to Pilate, Write not the King of the Jews, but that he said, I am King of the Jews. Pilate answered, What I have written, I have written. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, that sign that was hanged above the cross of Jesus Christ, written in Hebrew and Greek and Latin, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews, was a sign of Pilate's great and high displeasure and his real desire in his conflict with the leaders of the Jews to have the last word concerning this Jesus who was hanging on that cross beneath that sign. Pilate had lost, and he had lost badly. The chief priests, elders, scribes, leaders of the Jews, in their hatred, were determined to see Jesus put to death on a cross. They desired not only to have Jesus dead, taken away from them, his power and authority turned to nothing, but they also wanted to see, more than anything else, him put to shame, subjected to the humility, the torment of the cross. And they would not let go of their aim. They would not give up on their objective. And they met with fierce resistance from none other than the one who is in charge of this death, the one who could pass sentence leading to this death, the one that they had hoped to convince that Jesus indeed ought to be put to death. He resisted their every effort time and time again by all kinds of ways, by all kinds of means, seeking to release Barabbas instead of Jesus, finally washing his hands, proclaiming Jesus' innocence, seeking to have to arouse the Jews' pity for Jesus Christ. All of them failed. Finally, he had to relent. Finally, he had to give his judgment and his verdict, though proclaiming him innocent, nevertheless sentencing him to the death of the cross. You must think, adding to his sense of loss and adding to his sense of defeat was this. First of all, the deep fear that he had concerning this Jesus of Nazareth, who spoke of his kingdom as being not of this world, who also stressed that the ones that delivered Jesus to Pilate were guilty of a greater sin. Pilate found no excuse in those words of Jesus, but became all the more fearful. And how he felt dishonored, how he felt put to shame, that these leaders of the Jews who were supposed to be under him had gained their objective. But it was Pilate's opportunity really to have the last word. So he gave another judgment. He gave another sentence. This was to be the sign which indicated this one hanging on the cross. His accusation: Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Pilate attempted to regain something of what he had lost by means of that sign, and yet it raised up another conflict. The chief priests again came to Pilate with their objection. They hated the sign. They did not want it. But despite all their protestations, Pilate remained firm. What I have written, I have written. And you and I must see through this conflict among men, losing, gaining, gaining and losing, the hand and the work of God to give you and me the gospel this morning. The gospel of Christ crucified, that the one hanging on this cross, the one suffering its death, is indeed and is truly, according to the word of God, not the word of man, the King of the Jews. And in this cross, in this tool and instrument of shame, reproach, and of humility, in that cross we delight. In that cross we glory, as well as in its sign. So we consider then this text under the theme, Christ the King crucified. We see, first of all, the purposeful sign. Secondly, the deep offense. And finally, the mighty glory. What we have in this sign hanged over the cross of Jesus Christ is a custom, as well as we might say a law, according to the way the Romans put criminals and trespassers to death. This was a custom of long standing, so that even Matthew 27, verse 37, refers to this sign in the rather technical term, his accusation written. His accusation written. Now, that word itself, at its heart, as an accusation, does not really belong as a proper description of that sign that hanged over the cross of Jesus Christ. Pilate did not intend that sign, as he wrote it and as he hanged it, to be an accusation. It was rather a clear statement. A statement. But that word accusation leads us to understand this idea of a custom, to note that in every practice of hanging on a cross, in every practice of crucifixion for capital punishment, there were always two hanged. Always two hanged. The person who was the transgressor, the person who was the criminal, was hanged on the cross, and that cross was an instrument of his death. But secondly, over his head was also hanged a sign. A sign that was called an accusation, and the sign that was meant to explain why that individual hanging on that cross was indeed and truly hanged there. Here is the reason why he is suffering. Here is the reason why he is sentenced to death. Here is the reason why he is sentenced to this terrible death. This is what he has done. This is his guilt. This is why he is suffering the consequence of the law. He has been arrested. He has been arraigned. He has been tried. He has been convicted of this crime. And for it, he must now pay the ultimate price of his life. Now, those two hanging on that cross were meant to be bound together. Bound together, and that by way of a public testimony. That sign was not for the individual to look up to and see and read that sign and to see why he was being crucified. It was for everyone who witnessed that crucifixion to understand and know this is the reason why that individual is hanging on that cross. Why his hands and feet are nailed to it. Why he is suffering the pain, the shame, the humiliation of that death. This is why he must be up there for perhaps days and even weeks, suffering that death. Hours, days, weeks of pain, of hunger, of thirst, until finally he no longer had the strength to stand on his feet, nailed to that cross, and had his legs finally buckled under him, and he was choked to death because he could no longer breathe. And the purpose of that sign was to be a very powerful deterrent against crime. The public was put on notice. The public was warned in the most graphic and the most powerful way that to commit such a crime must inevitably lead to the same punishment, the same torture and torment, and the very same death. As it was in case after case after case of trial, sentence, and execution by means of that death of the cross, so it must also come to our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what was to be his accusation? What was to be his accusation? What crime had he committed? Or we might say, what was the reason? Leaving behind an accusation, what was the reason for his hanging on that cross? How was it to be explained? What was to be said about it? Why was he there? Had he committed murder? Had he committed treason? Had he committed a public disturbance? Was he a thief? Was he a rebel? What had he done against the civil law? Might even say, was he guilty of blasphemy? None of those things. Reason, cause, went back to what the chief priests, what the elders said when they handed Jesus over to Pilate. They could not say he was guilty of blasphemy. Pilate said what he said, take ye him and judge him by your own law. But they had something to say to arouse Pilate's attention. He says that he is a king. He says that he is the king of the Jews. He is guilty of rebellion. He is guilty of sedition. He wants to raise up the Jews in revolt against the Romans. He is a public threat. He is a threat to the peace of Rome, and therefore he must be eliminated. Except for one thing. Pilate knew that those Jews could not have cared less about public safety. They could not have cared less about the safety of the Roman Empire. They hated it. Pilate knew that there was only one reason why they had delivered Jesus over to him, for the sake, for the cause of their envy. And now Pilate stood before the question. Here was this sign, a sign that had to be attached to Jesus' cross, but a sign that was blank. What was to be written on that sign? What was to be put on that sign? What do we have? We have the very reason why the Jews handed Jesus over to Pilate. He is a king. This to have written, this to have put on the sign, and this in such a way written out to cause offense, to cause scandal, to sting the chief priests, the elders, and scribes who wanted Jesus put to death. A way of getting back at them. This was his way. Pilate put something on this sign that didn't belong there, merely as an accusation. There was never any need, there was never any call to put on the sign an identification of the person who was hanging there. They all knew who a person was that was hanging on the cross. The point was to put the accusation on there. This is the reason why he's suffering. So right at the start, at the first, we have something unusual. The name on that sign, Jesus of Nazareth. A declaration. He is not a person with no name. He is not a common, ordinary criminal or thief or murderer. His name was exalted. Jesus of Nazareth, this one. Then follows a statement. As it was Pilate's authority to say something about that one so crucified, so he determined that he would make a statement about this one. Nothing about what Jesus said, nothing about what Jesus thought, nothing even about what the chief priests or scribes or elders of the people thought, but what Pilate thought. Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. And in that sign, Pilate gave to Jesus a title. A title. Not an accusation. Not a fault to find, not a crime committed, but a title. Declaring, proclaiming, extolling, exonerating. Yes, he is the King of the Jews. And now you know why, at bottom, that caused such a furor to the chief priests. They had determinedly shown, wanted Jesus to be shamed, to be humiliated, to have any kind of notion, any kind of pretense to a title stripped away from him. And there it was, by Pilate's order, hanging right over the head of Jesus Christ, and that in a public place, written in three different languages, for all to see and for all to understand, repeated over and over again, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Pilate was being consistent with what he said earlier time and again to the Jews. As he said to them, "Behold your king." As he said to them before, "Behold, I find no fault unto in him." In line with his question of Jesus, "Sayest thou that thou art a king?" He said that he did it also to push back at the word of the Jews. As they said to Pilate, "We have no king but Caesar." When Pilate said, "Behold your king," he gave them back their king by his edict, by his law, by his commandment, and his decree. Here on the cross is your king, the King of the Jews. And it was finally his determination to mock the chief priests, the scribes and the elders. To say to them, all your efforts, all your ambitions to destroy this Jesus of Nazareth, I say something about it all. Here is your king. Take your king, have your king, have him hanged on a cross by my decree and by my judgment as well. And as Pilate intended, certainly, he accomplished his purpose and his goal. You must think of those same chief priests having plotted out of the hatred to have Jesus put to death, having worked so hard and so feverishly, not only among themselves, but also among the people, stirring them up against Jesus Christ to call out for his crucifixion, and that they were able look upon that cross as their entire desire fulfilled. their purpose come to fruition. They accomplished their goal. And they might look with a certain amount of delight and glee at Jesus crucified before them, to see in that face that they had seen set against them, that mouth open with judgments against them for their sins and iniquities, to see that face now contorted in pain at his suffering on that cross, and be filled with gladness and joy and happiness. Their hatred then fulfilled. Their purposes are now realized. Their goal is achieved. So they might congratulate one another on what they had accomplished. But then, their eyes had to look upward, past that figure hanging on that cross to that sign. And what they saw written on that sign filled them with deep embarrassment. That embarrassment that they thought on seeing that title written over him turned to anger and turned to bitterness against Pilate, whom they knew ordered that sign as directed against them. They were the object of that sign. They were behind its purpose, that they should be joined together with Jesus in that shame on the cross. How horrified they must have been. There in that public place, written out in three different languages, was this title attached to this name, forming a confession: Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. So they had to take in the entire scene before them. And as much delight, as much happiness as filled their hearts upon seeing their great enemy hanging on that cross, they could have no peace. They had no contentment. They could not say, well, Pilate finally had his say. We see it in the sign. We'll simply let it go. We have our objective. We have accomplished our end. They could not. They had to go all the way back to Pilate, inside the city, to the palace where Pilate was, and present their demand. That sign had to go. Let a new one be written, and let that new one replace the old one. The old one is no good. Let this be written instead and in its place. Either we might look at the Greek and say, either I am the King of the Jews, as Jesus' own statement and testimony, or what is said objectively about him as an accusation. He said, I am the King of the Jews. Now, I tend to prefer that latter statement, because that word, he, in that phrase, he said, I am the King of the Jews, is a distinct word. It can be translated in some contexts as he, very simply that way, but there is attached to that word in its context a notoriety, an infamy. It can be said this word is used to say that one over there, that evil, that wicked, that malignant one over there. And by that word saying that one, there is already a separation. He's not one of us. He's not fit to be in society. He's not fit to be gathered among us. He's out there. He is that one over there. We want really nothing to do with him. And that same word reflective of the cross, lifted up from the earth, despised and rejected of men. Yes, that one said, I am the King of the Jews. That was their desire. You see, they wanted that statement contained. They want it held close. Let it be Jesus from his mouth. Let it perhaps be from his disciples, their mouths, for a time. Let this person and that person say that, but not officially. Certainly not Pilate, certainly not the Jews, certainly not the chief priests, and certainly not God. Let it be just an opinion, especially Jesus' own opinion. You see, that sign threatened them because at bottom, their offense was that cross. That cross. Remember why it was their determination to have Jesus nailed to that cross. For shame. For his utter, complete humiliation. That one who said he was the Son of God, that one who said he was the King of the Jews, let him be hanged on that cross to show before all the world he is by no means the Son of God, he is by no means the King of the Jews. See him writhing, see him twisting on that cross, see him put to its shame, see him scorned and mocked and ridiculed all the way through. He is no king. He is not the Son of God. See him dead. That was their aim and that was their goal. And now, because of that sign hanging over that cross, not only did they see that shame, that humiliation taken away, if ever so little, they also knew what lay behind that sign. Their king. Their king. For them to identify with, for them to be joined with, for them to praise, honor, and extol, for them to trust in as their king. Look at him. Look at him hanging on that cross. Look at him put to shame. Look at him suffering that pain and headed to that death. What a people. What a people to have a king like that. And so they were ashamed. Ashamed of that sign and ashamed of that cross. But this was God's way to tell you and me something about that cross, that you and I might never be ashamed, that you and I might never feel any humiliation exactly about that cross of Jesus Christ. Because the wonder is that that sign proclaims exactly who did suffer and who did die on that cross. Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. We look there. We see by the eye of faith that one hanging on that cross. We see him suffering. We see him dying. We see him exposed on that cross to the shame, the reproach, the savage mockery of his enemies. And we ask ourselves, who is that hanging on that cross? Why is he there? And that sign tells us, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Now in that word king, you and I must hear another word sounding forth, because that name king belonging to this one Jesus of Nazareth speaks of him and declares him to be the Christ of God, anointed by the Father to be not only priest, not only to be prophet, but to be king of his people. And we understand by virtue of that sign as well that this Christ was also announced and prophesied so long before as the king who would come, to be sure, but the king who would come in meekness and in humility for the salvation of his people. So you must know. Now, how is he this king? How is he this king who saves his people? Must we look for his time before that cross? Must we think perhaps he will come down from the cross to be this king over the Jews? This one prophesied of the Old Testament. The truth of his king, of him being king, is right there on that cross while he hangs there. On that cross, Jesus has accomplished his kingly, his majestic, his glorious, and his powerful work saving his people. You and I must see, first of all, this king acting in his sovereignty. In his sovereignty. What does this king do? In his sovereign wisdom, to demonstrate the greatness of his power, what does he do? He looks around. He looks around for an instrument of strength. How will he save his people? What means will he use? A bow and arrow? A sword? A spear? Will he use deceitfulness? Will he use guile? Will he use trickery? Will he use rhetoric? Will he use speech and language? He takes what is feeble and frail among men. He takes the sign of a curse. He takes this Roman form of execution, of punishment and torture, an instrument of death, and he says, I have found what I am looking for. I have found the perfect, the glorious, the wonderful instrument whereby I shall save my people by hanging on it, by being affixed to it. To fix with himself and his body and soul on that cross the handwriting of our own sins that was against us, nailing it to his cross, he obtained the complete, the perfect, and the final victory by that cross. On that cross, our glorious King paid. He paid the full price of all our sins. He brought to that cross, to suffer on that cross, righteousness, perfect, pure, glorious righteousness, all the fulfillment of God's law to take our place as the righteous Son of God. To that cross, he took not only our sins as the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, he took also his divine power that he might suffer on that cross the full penalty of all our sins. The infinite weight of God's wrath. And on that cross, by kingly, majestic, glorious power, he worked, shedding his blood there to pay the price to redeem us to God, to deliver us from our guilt, to deliver us from the sentence of death that was upon us, the punishment and torture of hell. Our King delivered us. Our King has saved us by his death on the cross. By that cross, he has opened wide the gates of heaven for us to enter in, to find liberty, peace, righteousness, joy, life forevermore, all by his cross. He has purchased for you and me that blessed gift of faith, to work in us by his Holy Spirit, bring us to that cross, to trust in the cross, its sacrifice, to trust in Jesus Christ our Lord, and through him to trust God our Father in heaven forever and forever. And all this he did, hanging upon that cross, underneath that blessed, that wonderful, that glorious sign that God gave to you and me to proclaim him as he was, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. We trust in him. And we find in that cross all we need from our King for all our salvation, to the honor and glory of our God. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank thee for the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that he willingly went to suffer and die that death, that he subjected himself to its shame, subjected itself to thy wrath upon him on that cross to deliver us. And we give thee thanks for the sign above that cross, the gospel, that he is our King, and his death is for our salvation, to deliver us from death, from hell, from destruction. Turn us to him in faith, to put our trust in him alone, and may we find all our comfort and all our peace and all that our King has done for us there. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Let us say.